The reg in this spot would never. Whoa!
Oh!
And John, with a dream, decides to call with his pocket fours. The white belt just puts in $1,000.
Subscribe now to a front row seat for expert hand analysis and world-class cash game strategy.
All right, so something came over us in today's episode of Tactical Tuesday where we just decided to do some weird stuff pre-flop. I don't think that if you look at any of the optimal grids in GTO Wizard or Pre-Flop Bootcamp, PokerCoaching.com, wherever it is that you know, Munker, wherever it is you get your pre-flop grids, you're not going to see the things that we're about to do. So this is a don't try this at home, very dangerous type of episode of Tactical Tuesday. What do you have to say for yourself, John?
Well, let's just dive into it because it just gets weird straight from the jump. I don't even think there's need for an intro. So you got kings on the button here, king of clubs, king of diamonds. That's a pretty good hand.
It is a good hand, and so you know whatever contagion that you know you caught. Apparently, I caught it as well because here we are.
You gave it to me.
No. So we have an open. The villain here is a whale. To put it into context, they're a white belt, and like a brand new white belt too, who hasn't even gotten their belt yet. So they open to $30. They get three bet by a reg to $90. I have kings on the button. The reg has about, you know, they start the hand with about 1,400, and I have them covered. The white belt starts with, you know, about 1,100-ish. So we're at first this decision point where I have two kings on the button. It's three bet before my action, relatively deep with the reg, and we certainly want to keep the whale in the mix here. So this is what the contagion that I caught was that I did not want to four bet and isolate myself against the reg in a spot where I probably have very, very few low equity four bets. And also, I just wanted very greedily to keep the white belt in the mix. So I decided to do something that on the surface looks a little bit wacky. I cold flat the button with kings. You know, I think in a perfect world, right? Maybe the white belt can four bet pre, even though that's going to happen at quite low frequency. But yeah, just doing whatever I can to keep my man in the pot. So I cold call the 90, the blinds fold, and my man stays in the pot. You know, they call the three bet. And you know, fair word of warning, it's not like a lock that they just fold if I cold four bet either, right? Like they could still call pre facing a cold four bet. So yeah, I'm not sure. I still don't even really know how to feel about this hand. So there's 285 in the middle.
I understand like the point though. I mean, I think the way that I think about it is that the whale is likely to make, you know, humongous mistakes somewhere post flop, and the reg in between you and the whale is not likely to make humongous mistakes post flop. And so there's like you said, there's a huge value in keeping the whale in the hand, doing everything you can to make sure that they get to see future streets where they're likely to make future mistakes and give you an opportunity to capitalize on that with kings. And yeah, I think it's probably pretty close to, you know, it's too close to judge as to whether it's better to four bet this hand or higher EV to keep the guy who's gonna maybe make like a, you know, 100 big blind punt somewhere down the line.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna say something like even more, I guess, a more hot take. What, like, it's impossible to be able to discern which one is better. You know, it is impossible. There's too many variables to be able to discern whether cold four or cold flat is better. You know, the riskier when it's cold flatting, right? But just because hardly anybody does it. It's outside the box. So with that said, we take a flop three ways. There's 285 in the middle. The flop is jack 8-5 with the jack of diamonds, eight of spades, five of spades. Pretty good for kings. I've seen much worse. The white belt goes ahead and checks. The reg bets a third. And, you know, this is a spot where, like, I don't expect the reg to be range sea betting. I do expect this bet to be equity driven. And, you know, multi-way here, I don't really think I'm going to have a raising range, especially with the white belt. We still have the same dynamic in play pre-flop, where if I raise the reg, then that kind of forces the white belt out. So, yeah, just going to be flatting here with pretty much my entire range. I have to imagine if I flop a set of jacks, I'm almost certainly just flatting here as well. Have flush draws are flatting, etc. So I call the third, $92. And we get everything that we could have possibly wished for. The white belt just puts in $1,000. So they just jam on Jack 8-5. And I'm thinking, oh baby, this is what we came for. And then, you know, a few seconds later, much to my horror, we get something else. The reg jams their 1300 over the whale. So yeah, my
no tank, it just took him a few seconds. He was just like, yep, $1,000. Yep,
not much thinking before they ripped. So, you know, I got everything that I asked for and a little bit more, I think. But I don't think, realistically speaking, that folding kings is an option as played. I think that, you know, I have no idea what the white belt could be jamming. They could be jamming just top pair weak kicker. And who knows what else. I think the reg can certainly be jamming queens as well as ace jack. So, you know, and some flush draws too, right? Some like nut flush draws, I think, is totally in their jamming range. So I don't think there's really anything major to discuss here. I think I just have to call. I don't have the king of spades, but even if I did have the king of spades, I don't think it would influence whether or not I call or folded. So yeah, I go ahead, put the money in, and turn is an ace of clubs.
That's not the turn that I wanted to see.
Not the greatest of turns. So much for ace jack and the nut flush draw. The river's a nine. So the white belt had the ace eight of diamonds. So they jammed second pair and just ginned the turn. And the reg had the jack 10 of spades. So they flopped top pair with a flush draw. So yeah, I actually like the reg side of this better than both me and the white belt, but it was the reg that ultimately came out buried in this situation.
Came up empty-handed. Yeah. The final run out is ace nine, no spades.
Yep. And the white belt had ace eight. They jammed middle pair. Top kicker, to be fair.
Backdoor flush draw.
Backdoor flush draw. I mean, basically had the world and they got there. So that's my attempt at cold calling a three bet. Let's see if John fared any better than myself. Okay, so now it's John's turn at the helm. He's got aces on the button. We have a $25 open from the low jack. And then a three bet to $85. The cutoff folds. And now it's your turn to explain yourself here.
Pretty much the exact same preflop setup as in Brad's hand. We got a whale or white belt opening to $25, a reg three betting to $85. I actually also have the added benefit of having another white belt, actually a just again straight up whale in terms of putting money in the pot and the small blind. You can see he has 30 big blinds. So I actually have two guys I can count on here to hopefully make some mistakes pre-flop, post-flop. So I flat the $85 here. Same reasoning as Brad, trying to keep the original opener in there, and maybe we even get something out of the small blind if he decides to get a little crazy and cold call a three bet.
Yeah, we're white belt charming, you know? Just flat and please get seduced by our tune and do what we want you to do. So John flats the aces on the button. Oh, he gets everything he wanted. The small blind goes ahead and puts in $305. What a situation, by the way. Like, the reg in this spot would never... Whoa!
Oh, it's not over.
Yeah, holy cow. So the big blind over rips, and this almost certainly has to be a pretty good hand.
Can we get one more? No.
No more. The original opener folds. The three better folds. You call all in, which has got to be shocking for the big blind. They're like, what on earth? Like, I got past the two better and the three better and the cold caller. Flop is Jack, Deuce, Trey. Monotone, you do have the Ace of Diamonds. Turns a King of Spades, probably not the greatest of turns. River's a Queen of Spades, probably not the greatest of runouts. King, Queen, Jack, Deuce, Trey, three diamonds. And looks one like work out the didn't work. It worked out about as well as mine did. Pocket fours jammed from the small blind, and the big blind had jacks. So, you know, this is why you don't slow play, says the big blind. But I would say that your cold call did result. It got the absolute nut result from what you wanted, right? Like, I don't think fours jams. I think jacks just folds pre. If you cold four bet, you know, low jack, high jack button, cold four bet is jacks is just almost certainly a fold pre. So, yeah, you got the result you wanted. Just you got the outcome you wanted, but not the result you wanted. Is that how to say that? The situation you wanted, yeah. But definitely didn't get the result you wanted.
I wish I could have seen my face when the big blind jammed over. Like, I was probably like ecstatic once the $300 went in from the small blind. And I was like, oh yeah, we set the trap. We got him. And then the big blind put us in his thousand. I probably fell out of my chair in happiness.
Yeah. Six to midnight. All right. So pocket fours. We have a low jack open. The hijack, which is John, cold calls. I'm guessing that there's some reasoning for
low jack is a whale.
Ah, I see. So we have
this is something that just, I mean, like you said, is probably not part of any charts flatting from middle position or cutoff facing an under the gun open, facing a low jack open. But again, I think I'm hoping that the low jack player is just so weak that flatting preflop with these sorts of hands starts becoming profitable. Hopefully we can find a four on the flop.
If you want to win, you got to get in, you know, and if it rhymes, it can't possibly lead you astray. So, you know, again, when it comes to these types of players, I'm always more willing to get in the mix than less willing to get in the mix. Just we have, so the big blind squeezes. It's not the end of the world. I think the low jack will call at a high clip. You'll get to complete the action with position and the white belt in the middle. So not the end of the world, assuming the white belt calls, which they do. So big blind made at 140. Original caller calls. And John, with a dream, decides to call with his pocket fours. And congratulations, you make a set. King, queen, four. 425 in the middle. John has 870 behind. SBR is around two. And you're just living your best life right now, feeling on top of the world. Big blind checks, so not super great. The whale goes ahead and checks, so that's not great either. Now we have an actual decision. Do you bet? Do you check? What do you do?
So I thought that the big blind's check was very meaningful in this situation. I think the big blind would have bet pretty much any reasonable value on the flop, definitely any king, because of the whale and the low jack, who is just, you know, likely going to put in money with any bluff catcher, at least on the flop and the turn. So I would expect like most of the king X, maybe all of the king X that the big blind three bets to start c betting the flop. Obviously, everything better than King X is going to start c-betting. I assume he would assume he starts 3-betting his strong draws, his, you know, nut flush draws and open enders, maybe even like gutter plus overcard type hands. So I thought that the big blind's check was pretty meaningful on the flop and is pretty indicative of him not having a great hand on King Queen 4. Whale's check could mean anything. Could mean he's willing to just check and stack off with a queen or a four or pocket sixes or whatever, who knows. But again, probably indicative of a slightly weaker hand. Would expect the whale to probably just start betting all of his king x himself once the original raiser, or once the pre-flop raiser checks the flop. So I decided to check here and trap and try to pick off some bluffs, or maybe let them make hands that are able to value bet on the turn and the river. that's also, I mean, this is also very non-standard for me, I guess, to like flop a really big hand versus a you know, multi-way versus one player who's almost, you know, certainly a fish or a whale and to check it back. But again, I thought that the big blinds check was just so meaningful in the spot. I thought that he would, you know, I thought anything reasonable in his position would just start betting.
All right. So we are playing this very, very slow. Very, very slow. So you check behind. I am torn. I could definitely see betting. I could definitely see checking. My preference is probably to bet something small. I think it's kind of hard for villains to pick up additional equity that doesn't, you know,
make them a bigger set.
Yeah, well, additional equity that like makes it to where like they don't have any equity now, you know, like a hand like ace jack or ace 10, right? Like if the turn's an ace, well, they're calling a flop quarter anyway. So maybe like club, but I think club calls a quarter. So, you know, I guess like ace 5 suited that turns an ace would be a type of hand that can improve. But I think my preference is to bet a quarter here personally. Well, we get the ace on the turn, the ace of hearts. So now the big blind bets a quarter, who's the preflop raiser. Our friend who John was targeting this whole time now folds. Now we have ace, king, queen, four with the ace, king, four of hearts. What are you thinking?
I don't think I'm going to be playing very many raises in this spot. I think I would like to just flat my entire continuing range. Can't imagine mixing in tons of low equity raises or having, you know, kind of wanting to have bluffs in the spot, especially getting such a good price in position. I mean, there's 425 in the pot. He bets 105. So, you know, we're getting 5-1, a little bit better than 5-1.
Hard for villain to have like bluffs too. Like it's hard for you to have bluffs when villain checks the river. It's just a weird situation. Okay. The river is a 7 of diamonds. There's 635 in the pot. The final board is ace, king, queen, 4, 7, 3 hearts. Villain puts all the money in. I mean, at this point, there's like literally nothing you can do but call. I'm really interested in thinking about like what villain is jamming here with, because it seems quite odd. I guess like ace, queen would make some sense. Squeezing pre and then checking the flop. That's a hand that would make sense. Aces would make sense, I think.
Yeah, maybe he's trapping the flop with pocket kings. Like,
yeah, aces,
that type of stuff.
Kings, maybe ace, king, even ace, king, ace, queen could check the flop as well, I think. It's not.
Yeah, I think ace, queen could check the flop. Like I said, though, I was expecting his ace, kings to check the flop. Really, like, I'm only giving him credit for checking kings because it's like just, you know, it has everything blocked and is you know, you can comfortably get the money in with two bets like this. So
I mean with aces, like from the big blind's perspective, like you can check aces here and expect the whale to just start betting with like random hands too and get you stuck in the middle. So like aces actually makes a lot of sense for checking. I think that the big blind's checking range is probably more, it probably includes more value than I think you suspected on the flop.
I think that's right, because I did not feel great facing this jam on the river. Or I mean, like, not to say I'm going to fold pocket fours here, but sure. Like, I was going through the same thought process that you had, and I was like, wow, like, other than ace queen, like, what hands that I was beating on the flop, like, which hands take this line? Like, there just aren't very many, unless it's, you know, slow played ace king or, you know, normally played ace queen.
Queen jack of hearts, queen 10 of hearts probably take this line as well. I don't see why not. I mean you're calling the river, but I don't think it's like, it's not as satisfying as it should be. It doesn't feel incredibly great, I don't think.
Whew. That's right.
They have the jacks with the jack of hearts, so they opted to, you know, target your like ace fives, ace tens, your top pair weak kicker, and ran a two street bluff on the ace multi-way. May actually think I kind of like the way they played their hand. I think it's pretty tough for them to get raised on the turn, and then they can target your range specifically when you call. I think if the whale calls, it's a little bit sketchier because the whale can just, who knows, they can just call down with like top pair, they can have two pair, they can have a flush, they can have a straight. But you tend to have a lot of like king jack, maybe queen jack, ace jack, ace 10, pocket 10s maybe that call the turn. So I'm actually on board with this villain's river bet. Their turn bet, you know, they could very easily check the turn as well. But very nice.
I think the lesson for me for this hand is that, like, if I feel the way that I felt on the river facing jam, that probably means I should just start betting the flop and starting out with the bet with pocket fours. Like, if they're capable of having hands that get to the river like this and make me feel a little bit nervous about clicking call with fours.
Yeah, in the year 3000, when you get the next opportunity for this scenario to occur, you'll be able to play it much better. Well, good episode on some unorthodox preflop cold calling. I don't have anything left to add other than be sure to like, comment, subscribe. That's all I got.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Don't miss out on our next great poker adventure. Hit that subscribe button and join the CPG family.
This is Tactical Tuesday on Chasing Poker Greatness with your hosts, Brad Wilson and John Chai. Coach Brad approved. Are you a lone wolf searching for the ultimate pack? The CPG Wolf Program is a close-knit brotherhood hell-bent on one thing only, chasing poker greatness. Powered by bleeding-edge wolf strats and led by Coach Brad and his lieutenants, CPG Wolves are systematically prepared for almost any spot they'll encounter on the green felt. If you want to plug into an elite team and have a step-by-step game plan to realize your full poker potential, you can apply at cpgwolves.com. Space is limited, and the pack is only as strong as its weakest member. So only the hungriest, grittiest, and most driven will be accepted into the program. Applications are open at cpgwolves.com.